sort of toward the end. Keep going. There you go. I'm interested in the arrow that goes from enforcement to education, and I was wondering what you had in mind there.
Your answer, my name, your answer.
I think the best way to answer this is talk about some of our experiences sitting on the San Luis Obispo County Environmental Enforcement Group as the district attorney and the attorney general walk us through some of the cases that have gone past education, past warnings, into the enforcement mode, into court, out through civil action. We see that that process sometimes doesn't change attitudes. So the idea there is that someone may have been subject to enforcement. We don't want to end at that point and say, okay, problem solved, that guy got fined, was made to clean up, now we move on. We need to follow up enforcement cases with additional education on how to do things so that we can change attitudes, which then leads to changed actions. Because although enforcement will stop an occurrence, in some cases, it doesn't seem to change the person's overall behavior patterns.
So how do you, what is that step then, the education, how does that take place?
The idea would be that a person's been in the system, and the only county people they've been talking to have guns and badges, wear robes and put them in jail and give them fines. We can then come in behind that after an appropriate cooling off period with the initial approach again, I guess, which is best described by Sammy the Steelhead, trying to change an attitude, maybe start the cycle over, but reduce the impact of the violations that are ongoing.
Well, you know, I think that's important, but sort of the point I'm getting to is I think enforcement can be an important education tool, not only for the person who is receiving the enforcement, but to the community at large. And I think enforcement does a poor job if the news of that enforcement doesn't get out there and help educate other folks who may be engaging in the same activity. And I would just like to recommend that you at least think about setting up some sort of enforcement information programs, such as putting out press releases. And I know people don't like often settlement agreements. There'll be some sort of non-disclosure clause or something. But I think we when we go to enforcement, we don't do anyone a great service if we don't get the word of that enforcement out. So just a suggestion.
Well, certainly we can make we can use examples of recent enforcement resolutions as we're talking to groups. So it's nice to start with Sammy, go through the requirements of the ordinance, and then give examples, especially as we get recent examples in the county, without naming names, perhaps. That's one technique we'll use.
Okay. Dr. Hunter.
Thank you. Let's see. I think Jill, in your presentation, you mentioned that there are no ASBSs in this area, but we do have the National Marine Sanctuary at the north end of the county, and certainly we all are very proud of the fact that we have the National Estuary Program here at Morro Bay. So can you tell me more about how those standards and water quality issues are being integrated into the work that you're doing, or where you're linking up with those efforts? Because I know the ASBS program has, you know, a certain agenda and kind of strategies that are moving forward, and that I know that's the same thing for the federal programs. So I'm interested to know where that links up.
Yes, it's true that there are no designated ASBS areas here in San Luis Obispo County. However, we do drain into the National Marine Sanctuary and then also into the Morro Bay National Estuary as well. And what we, our SWAMP does is we work with both the sanctuary program and with the Morro Bay National Estuary Program to team up on many of our efforts across the board directed at, for example, Morro Bay watershed. So in the coming up real soon, the city of Morro Bay will be getting the same storm drain markings that you saw in Napomo and San Luis Obispo. And then we'll team up with them to then do that in Los Osos as well. So again, it's a the great value of partnerships with other agencies. We all share the same goals of protecting and improving the Morro Bay watershed and the National Marine Sanctuary. So we just team up to address those issues.
Sarah, I guess what I'm asking, if I can be more clear, are there specific problems and issues that relate to urban runoff and stormwater-related programs that have already been identified at the National Marine Sanctuary level and the estuary level? And I would add to that that our region is also going to be the pilot program for the MLPA, implementation of the Marine Life Protection Act and the suite of marine protected areas that are going to be implemented here. Those also have water quality dimensions to them, and so that would engage or that would involve fish and game and coordinating with them as well. So is that another feature of how we might be at least assessing what contribution we have in relationship to responsibility for making changes that are affecting the nearshore environment?
Yes, again, that interagency coordination is critical. The Morro Bay National Estuary Program has recently published their first flush stormwater report. That data is extremely valuable to us as we move forward in implementing our stormwater management program. So, again, that's what I'm talking about. Using the valuable data that we already have out there, it does indicate quite a few problems that can be addressed through the stormwater management program.
Wonderful. Glad to hear that.
Any other board questions or comments? Okay. Why don't we do this? We're ready probably to public comment on this. NRDC has 20 minutes that they've asked for. And Angeli, do you have to be somewhere in the mid-afternoon? At 3 o'clock. You know, what I'd like to do is break now for lunch and try to come back by 1, if that's possible. Okay. And then we would start with NRDC. And
12:45.
Then.
Lunch is not here yet.
Okay. So 1 o'clock. And then let me just tell you who we have. Well, there's 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got a total of about 7 cards so far. So NRDC will start, and then we'll have the rest of the cards, speakers, and okay. Well, you'll get in before you have to worry about your time constraint. And then we do have public comment. I believe it's any time out. Public forum anytime after 11?
Right.
So why don't we then do public forum after we complete this item, okay, and then we'll go into agenda item 9, and so Jennifer can then tell us about LID after we do public forum. Okay? Any questions? All right. Be back here at 1 o'clock.